Hello and welcome to the IDEA State Complaint Resource Center podcast series. Today is February 26, 2014, and this is Candace Cordiella, Director at the Advocacy Institute. The IDEA State Complaint Resource Center is a new project of the Advocacy Institute. It is designed to provide information and resources to assist parents and advocates in navigating the complaint process with a particular focus on systemic compliance issues. Our guests today are two very experienced special education advocates, Pam Cook from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Marcy Lipset from Franklin, Michigan. Special education advocates are uniquely positioned to recognize issues of systemic noncompliance within and across the school districts in which they practice. Unlike other IDEA dispute resolution options, state complaints can be filed by any individual or group. Today, we'll be talking with Pam and Marcy about their experiences using the IDEA written state complaint process in their advocacy work. So let's get started. Each of you have been using the IDEA state complaint process to address both individual issues and systemic issues. Marcy, can you tell us some of the advantages to using the state written complaint system under IDEA?
Absolutely. The advantages to using the state written complaint procedures in the IDEA are that it is, one, a parent can file a complaint, an advocate can file a complaint, and a parent does not need an attorney to write or file a complaint. So it is less expensive because you don't need the services of an attorney. And there are advocates who can assist who charge nothing, and advocates who charge a fee are typically far less than attorneys. It is a much faster process than a due process complaint. A written complaint is 60 days typically, and it's a way for parents to reach a resolution much sooner and bring children compensatory education if there's been a loss of service or a denial of a free appropriate public education.
So when you say that you don't need to be the parent or you don't need to be a resident of the state in which you're filing the complaint to the State Department, would that mean that, for example, a organization that that works on behalf of, you know, students who have particular disabilities like autism or could, in fact, file a complaint on behalf of a student in a state?
Yes, any person or organization can right. file a complaint on behalf of a student.
Okay.
You cannot use a student's name if you don't have a release of information, but you can identify a student by gender, by age, by disability, a school building that the student attends, or frankly a group of students in a systemic complaint, so a broader group of children that there are allegations of violation. And I live in Michigan. I can file a complaint in Alaska. Someone in Alaska can file a complaint in Texas. So anyone in the United States can file a written complaint on behalf of a child or children regarding allegations against the IDEA rules or policies. State policies can be challenged through the written complaint process.
Yes, and in fact, I liked your, in particular your mention of the fact that it's a much faster process. In addition to being economical, it's much faster in that there is a timeline and things do need can roll along fairly quickly. So I'd like to talk now about the what I consider to be the unique perspective that advocates have on recognizing issues of noncompliance and some of the ways that they can use the complaint system in that manner. Can you talk to us about those things, Pam?
Yes. The issues that could be covered through the complaint process would be anything regarding safe child find related services, extended school year, identification, lack of progress, evaluation, educational placement, any of those issues could be addressed through the complaint process. And for example, in Upper Arlington in Ohio, a group of parents filed a systemic complaint and were awarded compensatory education as a result.
Okay. So we got a little ahead of ourselves here. So that was kind of, can you tell us a bit more about the different ways that and roles that advocates can play in the complaint process in terms of what they can do and what they can help parents do?
Yes, advocates are uniquely positioned to identify and take action on allegations of noncompliance. As an advocate, when I suspect that a district is in noncompliance, so not providing occupational therapy services, I'm uniquely positioned. I have parents I can talk to. I can collect data. I can file that complaint. I can also educate parents on how to file a complaint. I can meet with them and explain the rules. I can provide templates and help them understand why it's important to use the complaint process, that if we're going to hold school districts accountable to the IDEA and to their state rules, that, frankly, the best way to hold them accountable is to use the written complaint process, either on behalf of one child or on behalf of a group of children or on behalf of a district that is violating a policy or a procedure.
Great. Thank you. So, Pam, I know that you have used a strategy that involves preparing a complaint and sharing it with the district before you formally file it with the state. Can you talk to us about the benefits that you see in this approach?
Well, I use this approach when I think I have a fairly strong case and when the parents either have told me they don't want to go to a due process or can't afford a due process. It's a way of adding a little bit of incentive for a school district to resolve the complaint satisfactorily.
Okay, so you haven't found that this is an approach that can backfire on you?
So far, I have not.
Okay. So you have to be fairly confident that you're dealing with a district that is typically in a cooperative mood, right? With
mm-hmm.
Okay, so Marcy, you know we're talking here, and the projects that we've worked together to build is really focused on the use of the state written complaint system. But we should point out that there are complaint systems available under Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act and the Title II of the ADA, and both of those complaint systems are administered by the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education. Have you had any experience using those systems?
I have. I'm what I call a frequent flyer with the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights. I file a number of complaints with them. In fact, I very often look at how to separate allegations. Can I file a complaint for a child with both the Office of Civil Rights and with our State Department? Or I file it with our State Department, and then depending upon the findings, if I'm not happy with the findings, I will then file another complaint with the U.S. Department of Ed Office of Civil Rights. The negative of the Office of Civil Rights is that you're very limited to 180 days. You have 6 months to file a complaint. They say that you can have exceptional circumstances. I have yet to see them extend the timeline on a complaint. I also find it can take them time to investigate. But I have found that when they do open an investigation and when they do come back with findings of noncompliance, that they can really pack a punch. And it can bring quite a bit of relief to children in districts over systemic issues, over individual issues. I've seen it bring compensatory education. I've seen it bring significant changes in the development of staff in districts and procedures and policies. I've seen compensatory awards through the Office of Civil Rights. So I think it's a very powerful mechanism that is, frankly, even easier than a written complaint because you can file online. And then from there, the only thing you have to do is print a release, sign and date it, and fax it to the office that services your area, and you receive that information in a link. So it's very, very user-friendly.
Yes, I think the IDEA complaint system, some of the requirements are not, don't recognize the technology we have available to us today. So it's a good point to make that it's more user-friendly. But then it's also important to remember the point you made about that there are different limitations as to when the violations occurred. So advocates would have to take that into consideration.
Very carefully.
Yeah, right. So there are, however, in the context of the state complaints, there are some limitations regarding the issues that that can be alleged as being violations of IDEA. Can you tell us, Pam, about some of those, what some of those issues are that should not be addressed in a state complaint?
Violations of civil rights related to a disability. For instance, in the cases of Section 504, the Americans with Disability Issues, you want to use the OCR complaint process. Another area would be claims of child abuse or neglect, or matters under the sole authority of the local school district. For example, employment of a teacher, assignment of teachers, or pupil assignments. Another would be allegations involving immoral or unprofessional conduct by certified individuals, and issues that have already been resolved in a due process hearing, or issues currently the subject of a due process hearing. If you file a complaint and you go to due process on one or more of the issues, you can proceed with the other issues. But the due process hearing would be important to use. Complaints would be addressed to agencies or departments, Department of Ed, as opposed to individual people. The individual complaints would not be appropriate for filing a complaint at the state level.
Okay, the alleged violation has to be against a school district, an intermediate district, a group of districts, but certainly not against a specific individual or a group of individuals who are working in those LEAs or school districts, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered an awful lot, and we will look forward to talking with you more in the future, and we appreciate you joining us today in this kickoff podcast for our new project. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Candace.
Okay, hold on.